Matthew chapter number 21. I'll begin reading down about verse number 33. The Lord Jesus is speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees and the elders, the temple here, and he gives them a parable about a man who owned a vineyard. And he let his vineyard out to husbandmen. When he let his vineyard out to these husbandmen, that they worked his vineyard. Then there came a day when he sent his servants along to recover the fruit of the vineyard that belongs to the master. And when those servants come, you see those husbandmen ill entreat those servants. They begin to stone them, and they begin to hurt them, and they send them away. And then finally the man who owns the vineyard says, "Surely if I send my son, they'll listen to him." And then he sends his son, and they look at the son and they say, "Here's the heir of the vineyard. If we'll destroy him, if we'll kill him, we'll be able to take all the benefits and he won't be a bother to us anymore." And then you get to verse number 42. Jesus saith unto them, "Did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." When the chief priests and the Pharisees had heard these parables, they perceived that he spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they took him for a prophet. Back in verse number 43, "Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth fruits thereof. Whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." If the Lord will be my helper this morning, I'll do my very best to try to talk to you on the simple subject of you can go the easy way or the hard way. When you look in this scripture, you see the parable that I explained to you this morning. The husbandmen were the Sadducees and the scribes and the Pharisees and the high priest and the religious leaders among the Jews that were entrusted with the Word of God and entrusted with the leadership of God's chosen people and to watch for the Messiah. But you find that they despised the commandments of God and they despised His prophets. And as tender as God was to send men to guide them and to help them, they did not appreciate the men of God that came to show them the real truth of God and God's ways. This morning, by way of application, the husbandmen represent modern religion. Those that's been entrusted with the responsibility to carry the Word of God and carry the gospel of Jesus Christ and rightly divide the truth. This morning, you can be deaf, dumb, blind, and stupid and look around and see that modern religion's in the ditch today. Modern religion don't know anything about the Son of God. Modern religion don't know anything about Bible salvation. As a matter of fact, as backwoods country as we are in this county, most churches you go in today do not understand the fundamentals of real Bible salvation, of what it means to be born of the Spirit of God. Salvation's been reduced to a discount bargain bin. I mean, it's just come, if you will, if you'd like to get in on this thing, bow your little head, say your little prayer, and hocus pocus, you're a child of God. That's not how it works this morning. Salvation was bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, and it ain't cheap this morning. This morning I look at this, I see about four different things here. There is the rock. There is the rejection. There is the responsibility. And there is the removal. Isaiah chapter 28 verse 16. As we see the rock, the Word of God said, "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. And he that believeth shall not make haste.
And that chief cornerstone, the foundation, is a benchmark, and it's a guidepost that sets the standard for the construction of an entire structure. You fellas that's ever built anything, you've got no sense, Brother Jody. You know, if the corner's out of square, everything from that point on's out of square. I mean, if the corner's messed up and the foundation's laid wrong, Brother Ricky, there ain't nothing going to work from that point out. And you see, Jesus Christ is that cornerstone. He's the foundational stone upon which the building of the temple and the dwelling place of God is built. He's the foundation of the church in the dispensation that we live in. And Jesus Christ was that stone that was spoken of. But listen what Peter said in 1 Peter 2:7. "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." Jesus Christ and Bible salvation this morning is offensive to modern religion. But Jesus Christ and Bible salvation is offensive to morality and offensive to good works. But I find this morning that Jesus Christ, the sweet, lovely, only begotten Son of God, and His way of salvation is absolutely offensive to a lot of folks sitting in this building this morning. You see, you don't understand what salvation's about. You don't understand who Jesus Christ is, and the preconceived notions in your ideas is railroading you into hell while you despise the truth of God's word. He is the rock. And you see the rejection, Isaiah 53:1. The word of God said, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." Verse 3 said, "He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not." Why was Jesus Christ so rudely rejected? Because he was not what they were looking for, Brother Jody. Get hold of the picture here. You boys that's ever laid rocks, you've ever laid stone. When you're working on a building and you're working on a face of a building with rocks, Brother Jody, when you lay them rocks up there, boys, the next thing you're looking for is a rock that fits in your pattern. Ain't that right? You're looking for a rock that fits with the other rocks you've already laid, and you keep going with it. Ain't that what you look for? And that's what these religious leaders look for in Jesus Christ the Messiah. But Jesus Christ pronounced unto them that all the rocks you've laid before, you're going to have to abandon them and tear them down and start all over again. And they absolutely rejected that and said, "No, not us." How many of you sit in this building this morning saved by the grace of God? My precious mother had 81 years of stones of religion that was built in her life. And one day God came by and said, "That ain't who I am. And I ain't going to fit in your plan." And caused her to tear the whole thing down and start all over again. That's offensive, buddy. Jesus said, "Everything you think you know about me is wrong, and you don't know me." And there's some of you this morning, your heart's tore up, and God's messed with your world, and God's fingered around your heart and brought Holy Ghost conviction because you have begun to see that everything for 30 or 40 years that you thought you knew about God ain't right. I'm telling you, that religious crowd was looking for Messiah. When he come, they didn't even know who he was. I'm telling you this morning, they rejected him because he was offensive to them. And Jesus demanded that they abandon their own preconceived ideas. This morning, salvation is not what most folks think it is. I can start at the door this morning, meeting you on the way out the door, and ask you one by one, what is salvation? And it would absolutely astound me at the answers that would come out of this congregation this morning. of what folks think salvation is. But not only was there rejection here, there was a responsibility. Man this morning does not purpose in his heart. Man does not purpose in his conscious mind to reject God. But Jesus said, "Ye must fall on this stone." And by human nature, the free fall is dramatically, diametrically opposed to everything that you have ever been taught. Man spends a lifetime, Brother Jody, learning how to stand up tall and be strong and be stable and be self-sufficient and to cast yourself on Christ and be broken goes against everything that you've ever learned in this world, Albert. To be crushed, to be broken, to fall on Jesus Christ and let yourself go goes against your nature. But God gives two options. The Lord God said you can either fall on Christ and be broken, or you can let Him fall on you and you will be utterly crushed to powder. In God's economy, you see, God's ways are not our ways. In God's economy, the way up is down. The way to be exalted is to abase yourself. The way to have is to give. And the way to live is to die. That don't make sense to the human man. That don't make sense in your Christian life. If you're ever going to be exalted by God, you need to abase yourself. If you're ever going to be able to live the victorious Christian life, you're going to have to die to this flesh and to this world. And if you ever get saved by the grace of God and know the joy and the peace of salvation, you're going to have to get broke before you ever get to that place. You see, to fall down means to drop. It means to free fall under the influence of gravity. This morning, Brother Jesse, what keeps me from falling face first right now? I have practiced since I was a wee little one resisting gravity. All you got to do is stand up. Well, if that's so easy, why don't these babies do it? They got to learn how to stand up. They have to learn how to balance themselves so as not to be pulled down by the natural force of gravity. And this morning, when the Word of God goes forth in power, the drawing power of the Holy Ghost of God begins to pull on men. And he said, "Well, all you got to do is go to Jesus." Well, when you're standing up to fall down, all you got to do is quit resisting gravity. But why can't you do that? That's hard. Because, Brother Jody, falling down's easy. But for me, it's hard because I practiced all my life not falling down. And some of you have learned to balance religion. You've learned to balance religious things. You've learned to balance the Scriptures. You've learned to balance preaching. You've learned to balance that still small voice that's pulling on it. And somehow or another, you've learned to stand up erect and act like everything's all right. And everything is not all right. You say, "Brother Mike, what do you got to do to fall down? Just quit resisting gravity." Well, that's real easy to talk about, Brother Tim, but you ain't just going to stand up and quit resisting gravity this morning. You ain't going to do it. There ain't a man, woman, boy, or girl in this building this morning that's intentionally going to stand here, Miss Jennifer, and just quit resisting gravity. You ain't going to do it. You'll fall flat on your face. You'll break your nose. You'll be hurt. You ain't going to do that. And listen, it does not come natural, Brother Tracy, when the sweet Holy Ghost of God begins to draw you to Jesus. It don't come natural to give up and surrender and allow yourself to fall on Jesus Christ. That's why some of you are going to go to hell this morning, because you will not find yourself in a position where you're going to fall on Jesus Christ. And you'll reject Him and you'll push Him away, but God's given you a responsibility. By nature, man wants to cushion his fall. Man wants to put his arms out and brace himself and say, "Oh, I don't want this to hurt quite so bad." And that's why folks will come to an altar this morning and they'll get down here and cushion their fall and say, "Now, God, if I'm lost, Lord, don't let me go to hell." Ain't how you get saved. Because when you fall on Jesus Christ, you come to this altar and you say, "Oh God, I'm L-O-S-T, lost. my soul, what a tumble, what a fall it was for some. Miss Frances, what a fall it was for you after being a Sunday school teacher and a youth choir leader and a deacon's wife in the church one day to have to say, my God, I'm lost. I'm lost. I'm the problem. And see, most folks resist and we'll never get to the place where you ever say, I'm lost. That's why folks are going to go to hell this morning. They ain't never going to be lost. By nature, man wants to cushion that fall. But to free fall into the arms of Jesus, you got to admit you got a problem. Psalm number 51, I believe it's verses 17 and 18. Word of God said, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. If you've ever been broken, I mean you've ever really been broken on the Son of God, Brother Jesse, you'll never walk the same way again. Because when a man or a woman's broken by the power of Christ and they're broken by the fall and the plunge that a sinner has to make at the feet of Jesus, God knocked the strut out of your walk. You know why I know there's a lot of folks that are religious that sit in this building this morning and you're lost and you have no idea what salvation means? I watch your religious life and you're as full of pride as a Christmas turkey is dressing. You're just puffed up. You got your chest stuck out, your church membership, your little Sunday school attendance, and all the mess that goes along with your ecclesiastical ideas. And you're so proud and you're so full of yourself that you resist the Holy Ghost of God and refuse to believe you could ever have a problem. But if a man or woman's ever been broken, but I tell you, you won't get far from the place God broke you down. There'll be some times in your life you might stand up and you think you're going to crow and act big, but God will let you cackle and lay an egg and he'll bring you right back down to where you started from. Brother Jesse, God knows where we started at and he's big enough to put us back where we come from. But folks that walk in that religious pride day in and day out, week in and week out, year in and year out, you mark her down, they're not saved. They've never been broken by God. They don't know what it is to really be broken. If you've ever really been broken by Christ, you'll walk different. And then the Word of God said there was a removal. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. Did you know this morning I've seen this in this church. I've seen this time and time again. Now, this morning, only you and God really know. There's some, I have an idea. There's folks that I look around. And honest for the Lord, I can tell by the countenance on your face, I know when God's dealing with you. I mean, I can tell that. I mean, you don't have to be real spiritual to tell that. Some of you look like you swallowed something you ought not had in your mouth. I can tell God's dealing with you. But some of you, when God really gets to dealing with you and God really gets to pulling on you, you better take heed to that. And you better be careful to thank God that he would even love you enough that he'd bother you and not let you die and go to hell never knowing that you had a problem. And when God begins to deal with you, I've seen this in this building time and time again. I've watched God deal with folks and then all of a sudden it seemed like God quit dealing with him and God had saved somebody two rows back from him. God had pulled his hand off somebody he's been dealing with. You know this morning, there's folks that sit in this building, you know just as good as your name's what it is. You know this morning, you know that God has been pricking your heart. You've had to keep your balance to keep from falling on Jesus. You've had to resist the Holy Spirit of God this morning. I'm telling you, you resist that tug of God long enough, there'll come a day when God will leave you alone and he'll move to somebody else and he'll give them an opportunity. If you don't believe that, why don't you wake up and see this morning, folks that have sat in this church for years that are dying and going to hell, and right in front of your face, God has brought people from other places and brought them outside the doors of this church, put them in front of you, save them, fill them with the Spirit of God, give them power and liberty and let them worship, and you still ain't got nothing. God will draw off you and he'll give that opportunity to someone else. Ecclesiastes 11:3 says, in the place where a tree falleth, there shall it be. You die lost without God, there ain't no opportunity to make it right then. But if you resist the Holy Ghost till he moves off and he leaves you alone,
The way you left him and the way he left you is the way you're going to be for eternity. Lost without God. God said that those on which he fell would be ground to powder. If you'll study that, you'll find that that Greek term that's rendered grind to powder is the same Greek term that means to winnow barley. And it has to do with separating wheat from chaff. It has to do with separating the good from the bad and taking away and destroying and doing away with that which is no good. And this morning, God is about to separate the righteous from the religious. One of these days, Jesus is going to step out on the clouds. Men who said no to the Holy Ghost of God are going to be crushed. When you look at this, the Word of God says crushed when Jesus falls on you. That means you'll be crushed by the one that was a bloodstained redeemer. The sweet, tender, loving Son of God that loved you, showed you you had a problem and called you, one day will become your judge. And somewhere between the holiness of God and God's law and the bloodstained Son of God, you'll be crushed. And you'll find one to be just as disturbing as the other. And the laws of God that demands holiness and the scars and the bloodstained hand of the Son of God will both be just offensive against your sin. God's given folks an opportunity this morning to come the easy way. I ain't always been saved, Albert. I ain't always been right with God. I remember one time in particular in that old green trailer up there, Brother Tracy, I'd been out and been in some trouble, and I was violent and I was hurtful. This old boy above the house was a deputy sheriff, and Butch had called on the telephone. He said, "Mike, said I got a warrant over here for you for a couple of assaults and assault with a firearm, and need you to come over and pick up this warrant and see about this thing." I said, "All right, I'll be on over." Miss Pat, I had opportunity to go the easy way. But if I hadn't went the easy way, Brother Jason, they could have made it real hard on me. This morning, God's given some of you an opportunity to go the easy way. You understand what I'm saying? God's given you an opportunity in all of your pride and all of your... I mean, listen, you're not mean to be. You're not mean to resist God. You're not meant to push against God. Honest for the Lord, I look around this building and I see men that have been trained. You need to be strong and people are depending on you, and you got to stand up with your male ego and your pride, and you got to be the man and you got to be strong for everybody else. But I'm telling you, God's given you a sovereign opportunity this morning to ditch your pride and fall on the Son of God before he has to crush you one day under the judgment hand of Almighty God. God's given some of you an opportunity, and today is your day. And what are you going to do with it? He gives you a responsibility, and if you reject that responsibility, he'll remove his call. Once he does that, it's too late to do anything about it. Jesus said you can come the easy way, or you can go the hard way. But one way or another, the Word of God says every knee should bow. Amen. Of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You can do that in an altar. Or you can do that before the great white throne judgment of God just before you're cast into the lake of fire. And I'm serious this morning. I know without any shadow of a doubt, the Holy Ghost of God don't lie. There's folks sitting in here. If you had to be honest, God's tore you up in your heart. Maybe even the last few days, you've had things enter in your mind that's troubled you. I've had individuals sitting in this building right now. I know without any shadow of a doubt, I don't care how many times your name's on this church roll or how many times you've been baptized, I know God, the Holy Ghost, has let me witness to you in power and glory. I know that. There's folks sitting in here, I know God has let myself as well as multitudes of others pray in the Holy Ghost that God would save your soul, you're lost. But if you're not careful, you'll reject Jesus Christ and you'll look for a stone that'll fit in your pattern.
You'll look for preaching that'll fit in your pattern. You'll look for a church service that'll fit in your pattern. This morning, Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. And if you don't know Him, you're going to hell. Listen, this is a serious, serious time. I know folks are sick. I know you can't help coughing. I understand that and sneeze. I know folks are sick. But for just a minute or two, why don't you try to concentrate? Why don't you try to think this morning how difficult it is that you look around and you see folks like Miss Tanya and Miss Frances, and you see multitudes of others, Miss Deborah and other ladies that were in this church, Miss Carol and Bob and Tedder, and you see others, Brother Tim, that took a role in a position in a place in this church for years. How was it for them to ever admit they were lost? They had to free fall. They had to let go one day. They had to let go one day and trust that whatever happened, if it killed them, it was going to be better than going to hell. Hey, what's your pride worth this morning? What's your pride in what you've said and your little testimony and your little profession? And you say, Brother Mike, what's people going to think if I come to the altar this morning? What will they think of me? Who cares what they think this morning? What does it matter what they think this morning? I'm talking about the difference between going to heaven and going to hell this morning. Do you understand that Jesus loves you? He cares about you. He's not trying to hurt you. He's not trying to humiliate you. But if you're not willing to be broken, and you'll not be saved. That's why conviction's so necessary. That's why God's troubled your soul. That's why the Holy Ghost has bothered you to get you to the place where you're willing to be broken. And I wonder this morning, with heads bowed and eyes closed, there ain't nobody looking, it's just me and God. One question, one grand opportunity. One grand opportunity for you to be honest this morning. You could say with an uplifted hand, Preacher Mike, I'm troubled. Preacher Mike, I'm in trouble. I don't understand it all, but Preacher Mike, I need help. And I want to find the grace to fall on Jesus before He falls on me in judgment. Preacher Mike, I'm just being honest. I need some help. Will you? Nobody's looking. It's me and God. You slip your hand up right now and say, Preacher, will you pray for me? God bless you, my soul. God bless your heart. God bless you all over this building this morning. Maybe there's some more you like. Just get honest this morning. Preacher, I'm troubled. I don't want to meet God in judgment. I want some help. God bless you. God bless you. I appreciate you being honest this morning. There's hands all over this building. You're not ready to meet God. You know it. My soul, why would you wait? Why would you wait for God to crush you when you have a blessed opportunity to cast yourself on Him?